Welcome, welcome, everybody. I hope you had an amazing class today. It was wonderful listening to everybody's amazing stories from this weekend. And now we're going to get blessed to hear from these four amazing men tonight and women about Holy Spirit-filled business. So that'll be exciting. Even if we're not in business, we can glean from their wisdom. So, Lord, I just ask you to speak through each one of your children tonight, Lord, and open up our hearts to receive your word from them, Lord. Give us revelation, knowledge, and wisdom of the word and the truth that they speak over us. Lord, I ask you to bless them, Lord, for their obedience to sharing the wisdom that you've given them through their life, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to use them to speak to our hearts and our minds and create healing in our souls. Lord, I ask for this session tonight to just open up new doors of opportunity for those that are speaking and receiving. Lord, I just invite you into this room and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Panel, if you want to come up, that'd be awesome. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come all the way up on stage. Grab a pedestal, stool, something. Grab a chair. Hey, so I know we just we're talking about the Joy Conference in our groups, but just want to open up, is there anyone, really just have something pressing that you wanted to share with the whole group? You know, some testimonies that you heard, you know, what was like really super impactful from each one of the groups? Anyone really want to share with everybody else? A moment. 1001. Okay. You don't have to. I was just...
So I did the prophetic ministry time for the first time, and I kind of went in with kind of like the mindset of like, oh, it's going to be like what it is every time I get like a word. And it was not. And it was just a really cool and unique experience to see how the Lord was like revealing these different things to me about the different people. And so I just wanted to kind of like encourage, like when you're going about your walk with the Lord, don't expect that it's going to look like the same way every time, and just kind of be like open to the flow of what the Lord wants to do.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? Beth Winger. I don't want it to get feedback.
The mission team, is that's what it's called? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I had a really powerful word from one of them on the team. And so it confirmed things, but it made me want to cry. So
yeah.
I thought that.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Here we go. Anyone else, I should say, about Joy Conference before we move on? Once, twice. There you go. Works every time.
Okay, so I had the opportunity to be on the worship team. Whatever. Okay, fine. I've been doing that for a long time. And it's like, there's not a lot of, I mean, honestly, like, I can play the piano and not have any anointing, and you're not really going to notice. Okay, so like, fine. I'm playing the piano. Super honored. Loved it. Loved being on there. But the prophetic, this is what I'm trying to say without whatever. Okay. But prophetic, like hearing from God, took way more courage and trust than it did playing a piano that I've been playing since I was like 7, you know? And I was so honored and humbled that God used these crazy weird pictures that came out of my head to minister to people. It was seriously like such an incredible opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah. I know in our time that was a common theme, right? It was, the verse that came to my mind as everyone was talking is more blessed to give than receive. I mean, I just feel like as we're giving out, God was just pouring in and blessing us just as faster than we can give it out. So thank you, everybody. So really appreciate it. So panel, we have one microphone for tonight. So it's going to be a hot potato mic pass thing. And the ask from the sound team is that we hold it kind of close and not do this and not do that and not do this. Okay? All right, so we're going to start off, ladies, first, and I'd like for you to, if you would, please, just introduce yourself, talk a little bit about maybe where you work, and maybe set the stage for some things that you might want to allude to later.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. So my name is Katia Dort, and I currently work outside the home. I work for Invista, one of the Coke companies. I've been there for 10 years. I work in IT, and in those 10 years, I've done a number of things. A business analyst, if that means anything to you. And then I became a supervisor. So definitely kind of that was a huge step for me. And I've been doing that for like 6 years. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But then prior to that, I worked for Cargill for 13 years. So 23 years in corporate America. It's been a good experience for me. I've definitely grown a lot as individually and professionally. But that's kind of where I've been, my journey. And in the last couple of years, definitely since Revive, I've learned a lot about myself in the identity sessions last year, and then just this year I made how to hear from the Holy Spirit at a different level for myself. How do I take that into my everyday work? I'm not a minister in Africa or anything. I'm at Coke, and that's where I 100% feel that I've been called to at least right now. So it's learning how do I take what we do here, what I learn, what I hear from God, and how do I apply it to my mission field, in a way, not only at Coke, but also in my family and the people I encounter. So that's a little bit of myself.
I'm Brock Sense. I work at Cargill, and I've been there since 2004. I've been in a variety of different roles throughout that time, worked in research and development, have worked in strategy, business development, integration, and currently in FSQR, Food Safety Quality Regulatory. And I think I'll just leave it at that. So,
well, my name is Chris Vanover. I work for a company called Trinity Precision. We are an aerospace machine shop here in town. I'm fortunate enough to work for a Christian-owned organization. I run all the operations at that facility, and I've been there for about 7-8 years since 2014. Prior to that, I was at a company called Weaver Manufacturing, which was an aerospace machine shop for 19 years, and pretty much had the same role there, overseeing operations. Really going into tonight, I would say I have a very strong passion for that each and every single person has a opportunity to have a circle of influence, and you don't need a stage to make a difference in people's lives, and that each one of us have been given every day the opportunity to really, really move His kingdom forward. And that's in a people's lives, and whether that's in one person's life or some people in thousands of people's lives, we have that opportunity. So that's really, we'll leave it at that and go from there.
All right, thanks. Mike Kaiser here. I'm also in IT, been in IT for a very long time. I've worked for a number of big companies and small companies. The big companies paid for me to travel around the world. I travel extensively. and had that opportunity. I try to use it as a missionary, if you will, on company dime. I was at that point in my life, I was a little bit more undercover missionary, if you will. So for me, it was about leaving tracks or, there's different times where I've really felt led and strong, a strong presence just to pray. And, you know, and so over the years, I've asked myself as I've come back and I've grown, it's like, why didn't I reach out to that cab driver or that, you know, those people that I was with in my circle of influence, like he was just saying. So for me, I view that as it was a step in my journey, and that's great. As somebody who's kind of a natural introvert, you know, it was, you know, these moments are challenging, and as everybody knows. But these moments are challenging for me to step out and just keep saying yes and yes. But what I found is in doing those, I can be with family and friends. I found, like, with people I don't know, I have a sense of boldness. And so that's what's changed with me over the years. And so there's just a new person in that respects, in that growth for me. I wish I was like this when I was traveling around the world, but I wasn't. But I'm here today, and I'm moving forward. And so that's the message for me. So I'm going to pass the mic back over to you, Chris. And first question is, where have you seen the Holy Spirit lead you at work? And we're going to take that same question all the way down.
Mostly how the Holy Spirit works with me at work is how I deal with people. So I work in aerospace, make airplane parts, but most of what I do is babysit adults all day. So, I mean, to be honest, I am a very task-oriented person, very goal-oriented, and I can have tunnel vision like none other, right? I can be on a mission, go 100 mile an hour all day long, and if you're not part of that mission, I can just blow right past you, right? So the Holy Spirit really has to get a hold of me to be more relational. And that's something that I've had to work on a lot in my career, is how do I become more relational in a fast-paced environment? And so the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of me and says, you need to slow down and you need to do this. So I'll share it. I mean, really the main thing I want to share a testimony that happened a few years ago. And it was really a pivotal point for me to realize that God has called me to something more than just the task at hand. We had an employee that was working there and working in actually one of the departments that I was not over, so I did not have a lot of interaction with this employee. But we were in there on a Saturday, and for whatever reason, got to talking to this guy, just had a good old conversation, just chatting it up, no big deal, didn't think anything about it. And I can remember this picture so vividly in my head, that we were standing by the garage doors looking outside, and there was this raccoon in the chip area, and we were like, oh, that's weird and everything. And come to find out that Monday he went home and committed suicide that same day. And it's long story, it's just God wrecked me. Like, how did I not see that, God? I literally talked to somebody that was hurting that bad. How could I be so blind that I didn't see it? So, you know, I've been on a journey since then with him about I don't ever want that to happen again under my watch. I was like, if there's somebody that I need to stop and focus on and actually ask the hard questions and really get real with, God, I want you to convict me. I want you to give me empathy. I want you to give me discernment when I walk in a room and I can see brokenness. And to be honest, I probably didn't have that gifting very much prior to that. And I really think that's probably over the last few years of what the Holy Spirit's really been focusing on me, is like, you need to slow down because I have a bigger purpose for you. And that's really where that passion comes in, about we all have a mission field and we all have a circle of influence. And typically that circle of influence is the person we're talking to that's right in front of us at that moment. So, yeah.
All right. So how have I been led by the Holy Spirit at work? So one of the things that I'm working on right now is working with people I don't know from many different countries, Mexico, U.S., Canada, and we're working on a project with a key purpose of how do we make this training really engaging, right? And but I use this time with these groups to kind of set an atmosphere of vulnerability and trust. And so I'll go in and I'll ask these really weird questions and say, like, you know, what would you tell yourself if you could go back 10 years? Or what is the one thing that you most want to change about the world? And these are, you know, some Christians, and I know many different religions, because, I mean, it just is, right? And what that's doing is it's setting an atmosphere of trust and candor. And that sort of atmosphere can help set up future conversations. And I know that by having those kind of conversations in the past, it sets up conversations to have, you know, if the Lord gives you a dream about someone, you can deliver that dream because you have that foundation of relationship and trust. So to deliver a dream with interpretation, and it was very encouraging for someone. It could also just be speaking encouraging words, you know, prophetically. So the Lord will give you a prophetic word for someone. And, you know, the thing with work is it doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord, or, you know, you can still keep it very work friendly, because no matter what, Jesus will always reveal himself in every situation, right? And so when you're driving, or when you're speaking that prophetic word to someone, that word of encouragement, it just drives out insecurity. And so that can be someone, if the Lord, that doesn't have to be in relationship. That can just be someone brand new that you just met. I remember, like, just last week I was speaking to someone, and I felt like the Lord just had me encourage him. And he's like, man, how have I never met you? He was just like, so like, where have you been all my life? That sort of thing, right? It's not me. The other thing that he's been speaking to me about is taking authority as I go back into work, into the workplace, because there's just so much anxiety that, you know, it's taking authority of, hey, I am the keeper of peace. He who in me is greater than who is in this world. You know, everything must bow to the greater authority, the King of Kings, and every piece of anxiety must bow to the King of Peace. And so anxiety has got to go. So it's not like just being subject to the environment you're in. I remember walking around the YMCA and just freaking out one day because I just felt all the anxiety, and I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Let's take authority over it. So, yeah, I think the other thing I just want you to know is, I mean, you don't have to be a preacher at work, but you do need to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
So for me, where have you seen the Holy Spirit lead you at work? It's always been for me how I relate and treat others. And, you know, whether it's talking about teamwork or a project or, you know, in any situation, how you encounter others, how you value them. I know in our, for example, in our cafe, in our at work, we have a cafe, and I, how I talk to the people that serve us. You know, I try to be intentional about seeing them and valuing them. And I work for a company that has very high principles that we carry ourselves by. So, you know, a lot of people are very respectful and you know, have humility and things like that. But I think for me it has been how I value others, how I treat others in my team, how I make an effort to, you know them and not only talk about work, but also get to know them on a personal basis. And, you know, last week we talked about deficit mindset, and I tell myself that typically I'm, you know, easy to get along with. I think the best of people generally, but had a situation that happened maybe a couple weeks ago where we were in a meeting and, you know, we had rolled out some program or software process to production, what we call production. It was live, and this certain user was frustrated and kind of voiced that frustration in a way that wasn't probably the best way in front of other users. And so I was talking to my manager about it, and, you know, just saying, like, I was frustrated, and, you know, I kind of felt uncomfortable with what she was saying. And this is abnormal for me, because I really necessarily don't like conflict and look for conflict. But, you know, I've been learning to be more connected to what I'm feeling and kind of being true to that. And so her and I talked through it, and I scheduled a meeting with this person, and we've had a working relationship for years, which was good. So anyway, even though initially I was like, oh, it's going to be uncomfortable, but, you know, I took some time. I went through kind of what are the things I want to highlight and say, and because at the end of the day, you know, we want to work together in the best way possible. We want to, you know, add value to our company. So it was actually a really good conversation. She apologized to me, but I think it was just, and I wasn't necessarily looking for that apology. It was just like, hey, let's come together, let's talk through it. And so for me, it was like, I didn't want to look at her like with that mindset. Like, I know she wants to do good things. So it, anyway, for me, it was, hey, I did something that was uncomfortable to try to connect with her. And at the end of the day, I think it was a really good conversation and ended up being really good for us. And then the other thing I am very intentional about is how do I deal with stressful situations? We have a lot of timeline or at times deadlines, and that can create a lot of pressure. And I know depending on the time of the year, we you know, may have longer hours or a lot more things going on. And I know that in the past I've been told some of the feedback I've received is like, hey, Katia, you bring a lot of calmness. I never see you, you know, lose your cool and things like that. And I think it's just God in me or a Holy Spirit in me. And I give him, you know, honor about that. It's not me. But I think it's a great testimony and something that I'm thankful to God that I've been able to deal with that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I might go home and tell Rob about it and, you know, start crying because all this pressure and stuff. But I think as long as we have someone that we can, you know, whether it's a friend or someone, you know, one of the Revive brothers and sisters that we can rely on, and because there are going to be times that we're going to be stressed out or that we're going to feel that pressure, and I think we just need to recognize that and do, you know, for me it's going to work out or taking an hour to do that and release kind of that stress, and then having someone that we can talk to. So those are the two things that come to mind for me.
You know, one of the themes that I think I heard it, there were several, but the one that sticks out to me is, and Chris talked about it, I believe it was on Sunday, he quoted the verse, they'll know you're Christians by your love, right? Yeah. It's not, like Brock was saying, it's not about your preaching, it's not about your teaching, but it's your love, your care for the people who are serving your meal. It's the care for your employees. It's letting that fruit of the Spirit out, and I think that's what I heard everybody really just talking about right there. That was my note. If I was able to take notes, that'd be my note number one for that one. So Brock, we're going to start with you this time, and can you talk about you know, ways that you've grown as a leader, ways you've matured, and some of the lessons learned along the way?
Yeah, so one of the ways I've grown as a leader is saying yes to things that I know absolutely nothing about. So I've had my bosses come up to me and say, hey, can you do this role? And it's you know, I have a lot of fear about it because it's like, well, how am I going to do my job well and do this other thing too? And you know, this isn't just like a five-hour task. It's like someone else left the role. You need to do it as well. You know, and it's not like it came with a promotion. It didn't come with a pay raise. And it's just like, man, I don't know anything about this. Okay, you know. And the thing is, too, I mean, I've been Holy Spirit-led the last 3 years, but God has been good my whole lifetime. And so a few years later, my boss comes along and says, hey, can you dig into this quality area? We're just struggling. We're losing customers. And I make these recommendations. And she comes to me a couple months later and says, hey, Brock, nothing's happening. Will you just take over the department? And I'm like, ugh. Okay. That was really hard because it was something I absolutely knew very little. I knew a little bit about quality and processing, but I knew very little about food safety. And it was probably one of the hardest things I had to do because there was so much learning that I had to do and so much trusting others to pick up in areas where I couldn't do it. And so I think the main thing is just don't be afraid of saying yes to things where you have no experience or in areas that you're weak. I mean, like I said, neither one of those came with a promotion. It was just, hey, take one for the team. So.
For me, a big turning point when I think about growing as a leader was 6 years ago when I was, you know, I was an individual contributor. I was just doing my work. I did my thing. But 6 years ago, I was offered the opportunity to be a supervisor. And it was a team of eight people, some of them working here in Wichita, some of them remote. There was a couple of people in England, a couple of people in Singapore, in Texas, and here in Wichita. So when I first got that opportunity, I was like, oh, gosh, no, I'm really, that's not my thing. I don't want to do this. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I really don't want to. I identify with Mike. I'm more of an introvert. That's my natural tendency. But but I prayed and I seek God and I'm like, okay, I'm only going to do this. I'm going to say yes if I hear from you, Lord. And he confirmed that very clearly for me, even though I didn't know the how or, you know, how it was all going to turn out. I said, okay, I'm going to trust you. And I said, yeah, and I didn't know why, but I felt at that time that God was going to start preparing me for something else. And now, you know, 6 years later, and where I'm at today, I can see that a lot of the things that I went through, you know, preparing meetings, leading meetings, preparing content, presentations, I was able to travel to other countries. And just all that time is being preparing me for kind of where I'm at today. I think that if I wouldn't have done all those things, I probably maybe not have been able to say yes to some of the things that God has called me today to do here at Revive and here at church. So I'm super, super thankful to God. He has blessed me a lot and taught me a lot in these last 6 years. And, you know, in confidence and courage. You know, just learning to hear the voice of God for myself. And so that's been the biggest thing for me.
So I'll probably focus on two things. One was confidence. I mean, you mentioned it. And when I had the opportunity to switch from Trinity Precision or Weaver over to Trinity about 7 years ago, I had been in my role for a long time, very, very confident in my role. But I had a mentor in the business that a friend, dear, dear friend, that hired me day one in like 1996, right? And he taught me pretty much everything I knew. And there was a point where our paths kind of changed as far as like our careers. He was really on the engineering side. I was really more on the production operation side of things. And then Weaver was a small company when we started there, probably about $3 million a year. And, you know, before I left, I mean, we had grown it to about a $40 million a year company. But I was very confident to some extent in my role and the things I knew and what I had control over. But I always like, you know, I had my friend right here that I could always go to every day and I could be like, hey, Derek, what do you think about this? Or, hey, this is what I did. And that was a pretty good security blanket for me. just to have confidence. So it was easy to walk in confidence there. And there's a whole nother story there about some stuff that happened. But when I went into the new role, it was a huge step for me because I was 19, 20 years old when I started. And that company is all I knew. I mean, as an adult, that was it. I mean, it was everything I had was put into that company. And I was like, man, it's kind of doing the same thing, but can I do this? Can I do this by myself? And it was extremely intimidating. I walking into a shop full of new people, and it was a small company. So, you know, we had built all these processes and all these procedures and all these great things. And like, I'm completely starting over with none of that. I mean, I'm kind of starting with a mess, to be honest. And I didn't have that security blanket anymore. And I was the man. I mean, it was, when it come to more of the operations side, it was me. I mean, the buck stopped with me, and it was a very intimidating thing. But when I did it, I think the Lord just really worked with me on my confidence and been able to do that. And it's been a 7-8 year journey, and it's been great. I'm so much more confident than I once was, at least in my role. I don't question myself. I don't second guess different things like that. Another pivotal point for what I've learned is, you know, we all love soft skill training when we get to go to that stuff. I am not a meeting person. I'm not a soft skills training person, but I will say the most impactful soft skill training I ever took was a few years ago. We had to go through 5 dysfunctions of a team. If you ever have the opportunity, it was so good because I was good if you were in my department and you were, I would have an intelligent conversation with you. I would take, I understood the different types of people, you know, like you couldn't talk to this person the same way you talk to this person. We've all had those tests, right? But when you start having to deal with people that are outside of your department and they have lots of ideas about your department, it's not as easy to have those conversations, right? And so I'm like the red guy, full of energy, goal focused. I'm probably going to run over you unintentionally, right? And hurt your feelings and all that stuff. And I don't have time for you to sit there and process your feelings and process all this stuff and information and whatever, and then come back to me, right? So that training was so pivotal for me in my career. It really taught me how these other key members in our business, why, and it just, it was like, I don't know, God just opened my eyes. Like, this is why you butt heads with these people so bad. And it's because you're different. And it's not because they're from a different apartment. It's because they're wired differently. And that has really helped me probably last 3 or 4 years work with other people throughout the company in a much more healthy way, in a respectful way, both ways. It's two-way street. And then it wasn't just for me. I've seen the difference even in the other people. And so, yeah.
So for me, it's very simply put, just turn the other cheek, right? So we all know the verse in the Bible, but the rubber hits the road when you're in a large organization, and there's as you move up in that organization, that pyramid gets kind of narrow, and those are fewer spots there, and so there's a lot of knives being thrown around, a lot of stuff that's happening, right? And so the thing that I had to learn to walk in is deal with and not react to those attacks and take them personally, right? Just so turn the other cheek. And I did that one time in front of a very, very high-level leader, and he circled back with me, I don't know, a week or so later, called me in his office and said, that thing that they accuse you of, I know that wasn't you. I know who it is. I'll fix that. I'll deal with it. But he goes, that's not why I called you in here. The reason why I called you in here is I'm going to give you that person's job, and on top of that, they're going to report to you now. And so it's like I saw that whole thing, right? And so it was just acting out. It's doing the word of God. Right, just doing it. It's super easy to say on a Tuesday night in front of on a stage like this. But as I think everybody here and you all can testify, everybody knows this. When you get out there and you're dealing with the 7 to 7s, and you're going at it hard, and you're staying in your lane, you just work, just wanting to, like Katya said, just do well for the company. Just do my work as unto the Lord, right? That's all I'm wanting to do. And so to have somebody come along and throw nails in the road and throw knives at you and all that stuff, it's hard. It's really hard to take that flesh and go, nope, we're not doing that. So as I said, my first time was, you know, let them walk in love, the fruit of the Spirit. And then for me, the second note on this one, and I think I heard it, was just turn the other cheek and leave the rest up to God. So that actually was, sorry guys, that was question number four. So that was a testimony about how, about being led in this way and then acting that way. So we're going to jump to number four. Is that okay?
All right. So the question was, what are things you had to push through to navigate to be where you are? So what I would say is we serve a redeeming God. And that of what the enemy steals, he can restore. I'm going to make a really long testimony, very short. When I was 35 years old, I was at Weaver at the time, and I worked under a man that was not nice. I had so much stress and anxiety, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I had to, overnight, I was at a point in my life where we just were not seeing eye to eye, and I had to step out of my position, and I had to go and work under somebody that took my position, and I had to work for this person that, and basically had to feed them. You know, it was a humbling experience because not only did I step out of my position, I took a 50% pay cut overnight, and had to go home and tell my family, hey, we're not going to make the same money that we made. And so at 35, I went back to making what I was making at 25. But I did it. And instead of quitting and everything, I worked under this person. And believe it or not, I love this person. He was a great, great man of God. He was new to our industry, but I had to completely humble myself and watch somebody take that role, feed them the answers, and really be Christ-like. I'm not going to say I was every day, you know, because it was a hard situation. But, you know, sometimes things don't happen very fast. But 10 years later, and it was a 10-year journey to get back to where I was, you know, at 35, but then and then some. So the thing I didn't say is, you know, after a while, after a few years of that, that guy was gone, not the manager, but the owner sold out to corporate America. And they had, once he was out of the picture, they actually asked me to come back into that role. And through that, RGM, which is my dear friend at the time, he went out when we got bought out by a very large company. He went out on a venture to buy a company. Ultimately, he was able to buy where we're at now, Trinity Precision. And then he brought me over as a partner. So, you know, why I did that, it was really hard. And I had to walk through humility and learn a lot of things about being a manager. I mean, learned a lot of things about myself. But on the other side of that is I'm part owner in a company that loves the Lord, that has, our mission is not to make airplane parts. It's to change the world one relationship at a time. And I'm one of the blessed people that get up every single day and say, I absolutely love what I do. I love the people I work with. And I love going to work. Like retirement for me, I don't even think about it, to be honest. I love what I do and I love growing a company. And if you would have told me that when I was 35, going through what I would describe as hell a little bit, I couldn't see the other side. But God really has redeemed me and brought me out through the other side. And my deal is we serve a redeeming God.
All right, so what is something I had to push through? So it was about 5 years ago. I was, into my career, and the company I work with decides to start merging businesses together. And so when you do that, you you already have like an R&D person, you already have an FSQR person, and my boss was shipped over to Europe. And so that was like, oh, my advocate just left. The person that had just been saying, hey, Brock, can you do this? Can you do this? Because she really trusted me. She knew that I was capable. So then I come into this new organization, and the other guy takes over the business, and he's like, I already got an R&D person, I already got an FSQR person. And I was like, I just had to struggle along for 8 months, 10 months to figure out what am I going to do? I was kind of in limbo there. And it was really hard. And I remember being just super depressed at this time. And I remember hearing a sermon, and it was talking about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is the guy that went and he rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem. And the thing that stuck out to me about this sermon was just put your head down and do the work. And so I stood on that for a long time. Like I said, I still wasn't filled with the Spirit. And now I see it with spiritual eyes. You know, so I'd lost my advocate. What God was really saying to me in this point was like, trust me, I am rebuilding you. And so I go in and I'm just putting my head down doing the work. Then the company decides to merge even more of our businesses. And so I'm getting pretty squirrely here at this time, trying my best to put my head down and do my work, but I was thoroughly squirrely. And my new boss comes and says, hey, what do you want to do? And I said, this, not this. And this goes on 3 times over like 3 months. What do I end up doing? Not this. But God was using that, not this, to rebuild me. Previously, I never had, you know, any sort of authority before, because what I did was a specialty, and the boss was just like, hey, you do good, keep on, you do you. And I moved into a role where my boss was ridiculously smart and hard on people, and it's super intimidating. But what he was teaching me in that moment was humility and working under authority and a lot of grace. And so this sort of role has been easily the most fruitful, and like there's just been the most growth out of it's unbelievable, like what he has done in this role, the not this role. So yeah.
For me, it's been not defining success or accomplishment or fulfillment how the world defines it, or how a corporation defines it, or how the team around me defines it, but how God defines it. So what that means is walking with God, no matter what it looks like on the outside. It was very, for a lot of years, I think I was very kind of stuck, maybe not consciously, maybe a little bit unconsciously, to, okay, there's all these people doing all these things, and, you know, how do I get there? How do I do that? And success looks like this. And really coming to a point and realizing that, you know, I'm going to do my thing with God, and I'm going to be on my lane with God, and really what other people are doing, how they're getting recognized, whatever promotions they're getting, that's really none of my concern. And God has blessed me tremendously, and I think it's just having that thankful heart. Like, you know, it might be one word or an email, or, you know, a high, you know, you did really good in this meeting. And I think it's just valuing and treasuring those moments, and instead of saying, oh, why didn't I get that? Or, well, I should be doing that X or Y in order to really be successful. So that's been a huge lesson for me. And one verse in the Bible that I love is Psalms 1-3. And it's just a reminder of me that, to me, that, you know, just being with God, we're like, we're trees planted by rivers of water and bringing forth its fruit in its season. So, you know, whatever that fruit God has for me, it's going to come. And just having that faith that it's going to come, and it might be different than the fruit for someone else, and it's okay. So that's been a big lesson for me.
So we've talked a lot to you, so I want to pause and give everybody the opportunity. Is there questions out there? Do you really want to go for it?
I have one more story I want to share with you.
One more story? Okay. Then we'll one more story, then we'll give you a chance for questions.
Yeah. So this is Praise God under Holy Spirit, right? So I told you I've been led by the Holy Spirit in the last 3 years, and so so it's awesome to be led by Him. And so you know, I had or have an employee that we had to make some hard personnel decisions, right? And she's the one that had to deliver this news to someone. And I just sensed it, hey, ask her how she's sleeping. And so I said, hey, how are you sleeping? And she said, oh, do you have a few minutes? I said, sure. She said, well, I haven't been sleeping well. She said, the last time I've been, had to do this, the employee ended up passing away. Like the his life spiraled out of control. And she said, I have had so much condemnation on me because of that. And she's like, he left behind a baby and wife. And she said, this has been really hard on me. She said, I thought I was past it, but it's like, this is very, very hard on me. And I had said, you're a Christian, right? And I knew that because we talk about it. We talk about things on our weekends, right? And you pick up these little things. And that sort of thing opens the door, right? And she said, yeah, and he was too. And what happens is, like, every time I go to church, I just feel this condemnation every time, so I don't even want to go to church anymore. And I ask her, can I pray for you? And so I'm just led in prayer by the Holy Spirit. There's just no doubt with what was said. And it was just Him speaking into the past situation, into the current situation, and into the future situation, right? And let me go back for one thing that I missed here. And she said, She was really struggling with this past employee, that she went to a women's retreat and she heard the audible voice of God say, this is not your burden to bear, right? And so that's when I said, hey, can I pray for you? And I prayed into this situation, and it was impactful for her, right? And you could start to see things shift in her. You could feel, and I'm like on remote, so this is really hard to do over the phone, you know, because you're on mute, and so you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go, right? And so she is just, you can feel the heart change in her, and you're starting to feel the confidence too, and we are even praying into the employee that God has a purpose for this employee, and that no one will keep her from this divine purpose. Right, and so she started getting very encouraged for what she had to do, something that she was not looking forward to. And so the next day I talked to her, and she was just a completely different person. And she's like, thanks to the prayer, you know. And so it's like, you can pray at work. And she actually said, can I talk to you about this? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have to know that you're a safe place that you can talk to about God things, right? And so God is good
all the time. So before we transition, I want to give everybody an opportunity to ask questions if there are questions. Yeah, Paul?
So I know, like, for, like, where I'm at in my, like, career, I'm not where I want to be. But I know where, like, at this point in time, like, I know where I'm supposed to be. But, like, what encouragement do you have to, like, keep going when it's like, I don't want to do this? Like, I just don't. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm here, but, like, I don't want to be here. I want to be there.
Yeah. No, and I will say, I deal with this with a lot with even younger people, right? When I say younger, I mean like pre-30, right? And it's hard because we live in a society where, you know, it's like, oh, you know, it's like I do 6 months here, and, you know, and that's really today how a lot of careers are made, you know? I mean, they jump around, they move around, and, you know, I come from a different era of that type of movement in my career. So, but what I tell people is, it never happens as fast as you want, typically, or the way you think. But the most important thing is to be diligent where you are and give it your all. I still, to this day, get calls from people that I worked for me 10 years ago. Hey, can you give me a reference for this person? They say they worked for you back in blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, this is what they did. This is how they were. You know, so how, you know, even though you don't, you know, this is not what you're going to do forever, right? The best encouragement I can do you is you act like it is. You treat it like it is, because it will follow you. I promise you, it will follow you. And what you, in how you handle yourself today, you, what God, the door God can open for you 10 years from now because of what you did today and the impact that you made on your boss today. Do you want to be remembered 10 years from now by your boss that you haven't worked for in 10 years? Yes, you do. You want that boss to go, oh, wow, let me tell you, one of the best employees I ever had. I would love for them to work for me again. You know, so just give it your all. And God will open those doors. I promise. It's never as fast as we want. He's going to grow you. He has things to teach you. But the doors are going to open. So.
Any other ones? Preguntas? Question? Yeah. We're recording, so I want to make sure it gets on the tape.
Is this... Okay. I'm a registered nurse, okay, and everything was so intense with what you do. And so I remember when I was working that some people were promoted to inefficiency because... You have to rely on your knowledge and your skill. And so I grew up, you know, everything had to be just, you had to know exactly what you're doing. You could never guess. And I'm learning in the spirit realm that you don't rely on yourself, that you rely on the Holy Spirit, and then he can take you and promote you and take you up. And I guess my question is, if there's any advice about, you know, that of getting rid of that mindset, because that hinders me at times, of relying on what I did and because it was so important.
Gotcha, I'm coming for you.
No, I can connect with that. I think that I said a little bit about that earlier, that, you know, just... that connection, that assurance that, you know, God is guiding you, that he is going to give you answers, that he is going to tell you what you need to do. I know one of the things that, I don't know from a registered nurse perspective, I mean, from a nursing perspective, you probably don't want to make mistakes, but one of the things that in our company or in our work is like, you know, you will make mistakes, you need to, and we, in our culture, I mean, it's like, okay, nobody's going to be perfect all the time. Like, you're going to make mistakes. You might need to, and when those times happen, I think we need to have that integrity to say, you know what, I messed up. But let me learn from this, and how can I make it better next time? What can I learn? How can I change? And so I think that goes a long ways, to being able to admit that and be accountable for that, and also knowing that, you know, I want to learn from others, or, you know, maybe I want to have a mentor, and, you know, just kind of stepping outside and taking the initiative to doing some of those things. I think people notice that, and I think that speaks of, hey, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm willing to learn, and I want to do it different next time, and I'm taking these steps to learn. So I know that for me personally, I had that mindset of perfectionism, and God kind of has removed that. Like, hey, you know, mistakes are going to happen, and hopefully they're not fatal. But, you know, yeah, learn from those. I don't know if that answered your question. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. And the only thing to add on to that is it's a slight different twist. But when I was in R&D, I felt a lot of pressure to, when I took a new product to a plant, for it to run perfect, right? Because then the operations guy would be over here, Chris, growly face, you know, holding me responsible for every little thing and delay of production and efficiencies, and he would grumble to his boss and grumble to his boss's boss, and it was a massive burden, and I started having massive back pain, and I was paralyzed. I mean, I was seriously, I couldn't walk. Like, I couldn't even get out of my bed at times. And it was, I had just given it to God. And I'm like, this isn't my deal. Like, God, I can do what I can do, but I give it to you. And that was, like, probably the best thing that ever, you know, happened, was just to feel that massive pressure and to break and just to give it back to God. So it kind of goes with the perfection thing and expecting perfection. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to lean on him for the things that can and will go wrong, and he can make right.
Anything else? Any other questions? Yeah.
Well, just any insight or tidbits about, I think either Chris or Brian called these people like extra grace required, you know, like people that are just like, and you got to work so close with them. And, you know, it's like, I know I walk in authority, even if I don't have authority over them in my job, whatever they're manifesting. But again, like, I want to love them and see them like Jesus does, but it's really hard to do that every single day of every week of every, you know. And then also, like, a prophet has no merit in his hometown. I always hear that. And it's like, but now that I walk with the Holy Spirit, I can totally tell, just based on beliefs, lifestyle, against anything about the Lord, just hurt heart. So I try to speak these things, you know, but some days it's just really hard. So any insight to that would be great.
All right, who wants it? Barack, you want it? Okay.
So pray for your enemies, like, repeatedly, all the time. All the time, and your heart will change. They may not change, your heart will change, and their relationship will change. And this has practically happened to me with multiple people before, where they moved on and I was sad because we actually became really good workers together. So
I'll add two things to that. Bryce Tabor had a quote, I don't even know where he got it, but anyway, I don't like that person. Maybe I need to get to know them better.
Yeah.
Some very wise words there. So I can 100% relate to you. I've dealt with many employees and stuff, but one in particular that I work for now, that works for me now, right? Agnostic. One of the most probably down your every day. This person is one of the most extremely intelligent people that you'll meet. Very, very smart, miserable in life. I can show you the text. I cannot muster the energy to get out of bed today might be in later. Right? I mean, it's like that level of whatever. So, there's so many times I want to just scream at him and be like, get out of bed, blah, blah, blah. But that is not what's going to lead this person to the Lord. And I'm believing for this person's salvation. And if you were to say my top 10 people that you're praying for, he's in the top three. And I pray for him every day. And I have to, so we talk about this about the Holy Spirit, right? That was actually one of the stories I was going to share, was that very specific situation. This is probably where I have to rely on the Holy Spirit the most, is when this person walks in my office every single day and we have our counseling sessions. Because it's pretty much what I am, as a guidance counselor most days. And this is a key person in our company. It's not just like some whatever employee you're just going to get rid of. I mean, he's very, very valuable to me in our company. And so I work through it. But it's not I put up with it because of this. I am believing for this person. So just put them on your list. Those people are difficult. Put them on your list. Get to know them better. Yeah.
Anyone else? One. I always say count to three before you move on. Give people a chance. Three. Okay. No more questions. All right. So, one of the things I like to do is zoom out a little bit, as I say, and kind of connect some dots. And so one of the things that I think you might be asking yourself is, why are we talking about this at Revive? Isn't this a supernatural school of ministry? Right? And last week we talked about the deficit mindset and how to overcome that. And now we're talking about a little leadership. Those have similar threads. So for me, the put together or the connect the dots for me is, it's very personal. So earlier I was telling you about how I didn't really have the boldness to go into the workplace and do, I was undercover missionary or whatever, right? That's not good. I mean, that's okay, but that's not great. That's not where you need to be. So I was just sitting here thinking to myself, if I would have heard this and I've been in the audience, would my behaviors, would I be in a different place back in time? Does that make sense? So if I go back, so maybe the point of all of this, you might be wondering, it's like, this doesn't apply, whatever you might be thinking, I don't know. But my hope, my prayer is that you aren't like me at that point in time, right? You can go into the workplace with the stories and the things that they've shared with a different boldness. That you're not an undercover Christian or not an undercover missionary. When you walk into the place, you are cognitively aware that you are a beam of light in a potentially dark place, right? So it's becoming conscious of that, I think, that is very, very powerful. And so what we're learning here at Revive, yes, we're empowering and equipping to be able to go and do prophetic ministry sessions on a weekend at a Joy conference. But beyond that, it's about the day in and day out too, right? It's about the rubber meeting the road. How do you deal with your coworkers? How do you deal with your employees? How do you deal with people that are trying to get you fired or get you demoted or take your job? And, these are real life things. And I think that's a big part of what Andy and Tim's vision for these last couple of weeks were all about. Is that okay? Everybody okay with that? I mean, it doesn't feel very spiritual, right, sometimes, but I feel like this is a very important thing that could change your mind or change your thinking in your day in and day out. Okay? Anybody want a closing thoughts?
I have one. Just remember, you have the ability to change a culture, and your culture is your business, wherever you're at. Even if you don't work for that great Christian-owned company or whatever, you have the ability to change a culture by how you act. I had a guy, same thing, saw it, and he was like, I don't know what's going on, but I want what you guys have. And it was strictly by the way several men in our company carried themselves, right? And anything about going to church, none of that stuff. He's just like, what's different? And it's because we are setting the environment for the culture we're in, and it's not managers that this person was referring to. It was just regular people, that coworkers that they worked with. So
it goes a little bit to what Chris had said to Paula, but it's do everything you do to the glory of God, and it's like when you do that, it doesn't matter if you're setting tables, raking yards, God will be glorified, right? So whether you're at work, whether you're still at home, whether you are raising kids, do everything you do to the glory of God.
Yeah, and I would say with the spirit of excellence, the spirit of with the Holy Spirit. And I think that, you know, just every day is an opportunity to impact and to change and to, like I think Chris said, you know, we're all influencers. So I think it's just taking time to, okay, God, what do you have for me today? What can I do? And as you go through the doors or wherever you work or your home, you know, just, hey, God, I'm connecting with you and we're excited. We're going to do something great today. So,
yeah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Would you guys give them a round of applause, please?